Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance and direction as we use wisdom and Bible prophecy to understand the future. And we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I read our Bible, I apply understanding to the many themes that are repeated in the Bible. Often, I combine a knowledge of human history with a knowledge of Bible history, and then I add Bible prophecy to an understanding which I have for myself and I speak about. Lately, there's been Jonathan Cahn, who I have been listening to, and then a week ago, there was David Jeremiah and his radio address. And of course, I always pray and ask God to give me discernment in what I'm hearing. Scriptures have given us hope and even a refuge in the world around us. And the thing is it's always in God's timing and not our timing. Even let's look at Noah. Noah had hope after the flood. Now he took his sons and their wives and his wife, and after 150 days of deep waters which covered the earth, Noah let a crow go, and the crow did not return. And then Noah let a dove go, and the dove did return with a green branch. And that was a hope for Noah and his family. Now today, in these days of uncertainty all over the whole world, we might think of letting a crow out or a dove out and ask God to return with, what, a little green branch that would be hope? Yes, it is done in different ways at different times. So we pray and ask God for hope. Now we do have a world that seems a little bit more complicated than what it was in Noah's time, where he was on a great big ship and there was rain and a flooding of the whole earth. So we have little complications that we try to understand, but the themes can be very similar. And we pray for the discernment to understand both the hope and the trouble that is before us, so that we learn how to apply our wisdom to our life. And I think of right now, these days, there is a man in the highest office of this land who is talking about America's golden age. And he says, this golden age has just begun. So, being a history guy, I think about the golden age of Rome and how it actually happened. It's widely acknowledged to have started in 27 BC. So, is there a theme here going on? 27 BC was a few decades before Christ came to the earth. And now, will Christ return to the earth in a few decades, or some amount of time? And of course, that is the expectation because it is talked about in Scripture. We just have to figure out when. Well, we have to be prepared for it because we don't know when. But we are thankful that we have Jesus who came as a sacrificial offering for the sin of mankind. And let me just say that it's a free gift that we have, that Jesus gives us. But like any gift, we have to reach out and accept that gift. I remember evangelists from about 100 years ago, like D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon, and they talked about the gift of salvation, it being a free gift. But a person still has to reach out and accept that free gift. And we think of the evidence of accepting that free gift of salvation as living a born-again lifestyle, being born again in the Spirit. And John 3:3, Jesus says, except a person is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. God's word is completely true, whether it was spoken 2,000 years ago or 2 days ago. It's completely true, and we do well to pay attention to God's word. It's all through the Bible, and let's study it. Let's read the Bible and understand where we can fit into all the Bible themes. I've heard people say that you can't sin and expect to have God's grace and blessings. Well, it's an interesting question, and I think all we can do is ask for God to speak to us, whether it is according to our intellect or our feelings, and get an idea of how we are to live that born-again lifestyle. As we know, it's not always easy to live a God-honoring life, but that is what we want to do. So often, we are distracted by all the circumstances going on around us. There's also the desires of our own heart, which we can use to justify our actions. And even if our actions are not in God's will, how often do we use circumstances to justify what we do? Oh, it can be quite tricky if we pay attention to our heart's desires or if we pay attention to God's words. Well, we do want to pay attention to God's instruction in the Bible and to apply God's word to the circumstances in our life. We have consequences when we obey God's word and consequences when we do not obey God's word. And I think of Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12. And in both places, it tells us that a wise man sees trouble coming and he avoids the trouble. So, look around and try to understand what kind of trouble could be coming your way. And in this world, we see there's a lot of trouble going on. And there's a lot of things that if we step out of the way of trouble, we can avoid that trouble. We do hear about Christians who both have gotten in trouble and have stepped out of the way of trouble, especially when they listen to the Holy Spirit of God. I think of this true story about Dumitru Dudeman. He was a Romanian pastor who brought Bibles into Russia. Well, it was smuggling Bibles into Russia because Christian Bibles were not allowed at that time about 70 years ago. And so he was crossing the border into Russia, again, 70 years ago, and the guards recognized him as a pastor, and they asked if he had any Bibles. And he said, yes, right here in the car. And the guards let him pass. And he said later on that the Holy Spirit had blinded their eyes to the presence of the Bibles in the back seat. Well, that's a part of the miracles that we can expect to see in these last days. We will hear about wonderful things going on. Oh, yes. I've heard about Bible smugglers. Well, they don't call themselves Bible smugglers. They call them Bible couriers. And they bring Bibles to countries where the Christian Bible is not allowed. Often, it is in the language that they will understand in that country. And there's many testimonies. Oh, I've talked to many people who have brought suitcases full of Bibles into countries where Bibles are not allowed. And they will talk about the same kind of miracle things. Not that they say they're bringing Bibles into the country. They might say they have printed matter, They might say, oh, everything's my personal belongings. And they bring suitcases of all sorts of things into the country where Bibles are restricted. And they will tell you similar stories. The guards didn't see what was in their suitcases. They didn't even ask. They just let those people pass. So I think that's a part of what the Holy Spirit does. He can blind the eyes of the guards. And it's happening now in the last couple of years. And it happened then with that pastor, Dimitri Dudeman. So you can see the miracles that are going on right now all around us. We can see how the Holy Spirit of God protects people. And we will see miracles now in these last days. It's indicated. And the Bible tells about remarkable events that will happen. It's in the book of Revelation about things will happen right in front of us, and it will be remarkable. And I think of Matthew 24:24, where it says, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived in the days when the Christians turn their focus to Christ. Well, I added that last part because I see we have to focus on Christ to have the Spirit of God help us and surround us. That's what I see. Now, you can have another idea. That's good. That's fine. But I just say that we want to stay very close with the Holy Spirit of God in these last days. As I said, Matthew 24:24, even if it were possible, the elect would be deceived. So read the scriptures for yourself and get an understanding. It's helpful to read what is before and after to get a context. Well, it happens when we think of doing God's will instead of our own will that the Holy Spirit of God protects us. And I think of Matthew 10:37 and Luke 14:26. In both cases, it has this description of anyone who does not hate his brother, father, wife, and children more. He has to love God and hate the others. So we have to look a little before and a little bit after to get a context for what's going on here. So the idea that I see is love, and that's what the main theme here is, loving God. How do we love God? Well, do we love God in a way that he loves us? That's what I see, and you'll have to read scripture for yourself and get an understanding. That's what we really want to do, pray and ask God for understanding, and then read. Well, God has pure love. Jesus Christ has pure love for us and for others. And so that's a huge item. Now, the love that we have for other people often depends on what they do and how they treat us. So that's a part of also how I read that passage of Scripture. But there again, read things yourself. Search the Bible and get the understanding that the Holy Spirit would have you to have. God's Holy Spirit. The Bible has some wonderful words in it, and it also has things that we can investigate and search out. I think there's lots of things that we can try to put together in our understanding. I think we always want to obey God's word through God Jesus Christ. And a part of that is when we feel the pure and holy love of God, which Jesus has for us. Then we want to follow and obey God Jesus. So that's a part of the relation we have when we read Scripture. And then we want eternity with Jesus. I've heard people say that they just want to get into heaven. What's the least that I need to do to get into heaven? Well, that's a good starting point. And everybody gets to figure out what is our own starting point. And then how do we develop that as we receive Jesus Christ and feel his full love, the love which he has given to each one of us? What do we do then? Well, we grow in love. It's God's love as we seek eternity in heaven. So, I look a few decades back, and there was a time I said something like this too. Lord, I want to be in heaven with you. Tell me what I need. And God answers prayer. He answers that prayer. And so we learn over time and experience what to do to love God, Jesus. And that's a part of the relationship that gets built when we love him back for loving us so very greatly. And then we think of how to love and how to obey Jesus Christ. And that reminds me of John 14:15, where Jesus says, "He who loves me keeps my commandments." So we search out how do we keep the commandments of God. Sometimes it's not easy as we go through life and we see other people disobeying God and we do not see a thunderbolt coming to kill them. But we do see effects. We see effects of the troubles that sin brings into their life. And I think of John 15:20, where it says, "If they persecuted me, which is Jesus, they will persecute you." And that's a part of what we understand. We read scripture and we know it is true. And yet we accept what will happen because of our love for the truth of Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. So the Christian church will be persecuted. And if you haven't noticed, in the last years, when the Christian church is persecuted, the church grows. Many Christ followers have observed this, and they know it's a hard truth, because nobody wants to be persecuted, but we pursue the truth of God Jesus. And a part of that can be persecution also. It's when we value truth or value the truth of God and his heavenly eternity, we seek to follow Jesus. We seek to follow that truth. And we seek to not follow a lie. How many times in life have we heard a sweet lie and we are attracted to it because we want the sweetness that they talk about? But it's a lie. It's not true. And so we turn from the lie and we seek truth. It's a human situation which sometimes we have to seek the way that is not easy. It can be a hard path, but it is the truth path. So we seek truth, even if it's hard. There are plenty of churches that have a what you would call a soft message of lovey-dovey. And somehow, people want to know the truth, even if it's a hard truth. Well, it makes me think of people. Today, we hear the stories, well, I sure hear them, of someone turning from Christ and wanting the things of this world. Well, sometime it happens like that. And we wonder, how can a person turn from the truth of Jesus Christ and pursue the worldly things? Well, there are plenty of people who do. Plenty of people want the financial rewards more than the truth of God. but everyone is different, and we want to pray for the people who have turned from God to the physical benefits of the world, and we want to pray that they return to Christ and forsake those things that are not of God. Well, we have an opportunity to learn. We have an opportunity to pursue truth and not be deceived. Each one of us has that possibility right in front of us. Turn from the rewards of this world and find the eternal reward in Jesus Christ. It's kind of a personal message that we can all apply to our own life. And we see the difficulties right in front of us, right in front of our country, right in front of the social people we know, where we want to tell them about Jesus Christ and how wonderful a relationship with God Jesus is. And yet they pursue the worldly things. And in a way, you can't blame them, but you just know how wonderful it would be to pursue the good things of God. It helps to read Scripture and to know what God's holy word is about. We have a way of understanding which we get when we search the Scripture, and we also have prophetic people who tell us one thing and another. Oh, that reminds me of one thing. You remember in the 2016 election, when there was a question of who would win the presidency? Do you remember there were a number of people who said that Trump would have 2 terms as president? And then he lost the 2020 election. And so people thought, oh, those false prophets. It's very interesting how we try to understand prophecy with the reality that's right in front of us. We don't know the whole story of the presidency even, or of prophecy, but we seek understanding. Why, I've even heard of people saying that Trump could have yet another term, because the way the law was written of the presidency, it is either spoken about as having 2 consecutive terms as president. That's all you are allowed under the law. So if it's not consecutive, can he have the first, skip one, have the second, and then the third? Well, it certainly will be interesting to see, won't it? We live in amazing times. These are the end of times, and we get to see what will really happen. We have Scripture to help us. We have the book of Revelation that will help us understand. And in some cases, it'll be confusing because people say, oh, it can't be, it can't be. But that's something we all get to wait and see, to see if it really does happen the way that the book of Revelation will describe. We know that there are people who will follow Scripture, believe Scripture, and there are the ones who will say, nope, it won't happen. And you get to figure out if you have seen the Bible demonstrated to be true enough that you believe Scripture completely. Well, we all have an experience, and we all have an opinion. And whatever will happen, I do expect it to be shocking, because when I read the book of Revelation, I see some of it is rather shocking. What will happen? And it's so easy to ignore the passages that we either don't understand or don't want to be true. But we have to realize the whole book of Revelation. In fact, the whole Bible is true. So which parts are we going to believe? Let's read the whole Bible and believe the whole Bible. there are many possibilities. And there's a lot of people who do not believe that the hard times of the Bible will actually come to pass. They will say, oh, but we will be raptured before any hard times come. This is a very popular belief because people do not want to go through a time of tribulation. Well, I don't blame them either, but look at the Bible history and you can see that there is reason to believe that the Bible history will repeat. And that's one of the beauties of reading some of Jonathan Cahn's works. He talks about the patterns repeating. And from ancient Egypt, the patterns repeat. And just like the miracles that happened in front of Pharaoh, they seem to be going on right now. And it's something that we can either see or we don't, but at least have a look, because to me the patterns are right there. They are tested through time, and they show that if they happened once through the chosen people and the exodus from Egypt in the desert, we can expect a similar situation to happen and repeat itself. And I think it's a benefit to look at if that could happen today. Then we could understand the cultural habits that we all have in this modern life, and we get to see if we should be ready for, well, a time of difficulty. There's people who claim to know what is coming and what will happen to America and what will happen to Western civilization. And I think it's okay to look at what could happen if the Bible prophecy patterns repeat. Well, it's really just Bible history. And if it repeats, then that will be interesting. I think of Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. And they all talked about the end of the age and what happens. That there will be earthquakes and famines and epidemics and wars. That's all New Testament. And so we can say, oh, will that happen again? Or when will that happen? Yes. And I think about even the Old Testament describes something similar. In Ezekiel chapter 14, right around verse 13, it talks about when a land sins against God by persistent unfaithfulness, then there will be these problems which reflect what the New Testament talks about. Earthquakes, famine, epidemic, and war. And so there is reason to expect that that is what is coming. Earthquakes, famine, epidemic, and war. So we will look back and say, what should I be prepared for? And look at those proverbs. Avoid trouble. We see trouble coming and avoid it. How do we do it? By getting prepared. Well, what would you do if there was going to be these things coming along? Well, we'd get a little bit prepared, because war pretty much means shortages and violence. So how are we going to prepare for shortages and violence? Well, we increase our awareness. We look around more. We think about protecting ourselves. And that's really what we do. It's a biblical pattern, and we get to see it and understand it and act on it, and have our attitude reflect what is necessary to get through some hard consequences, some hard times. It seems that they are coming. I mean, you can look at human history and expect it, or you can look at Bible history and expect it. This is what we can expect. that there will be some serious problems happen, and how do we avoid them? Some of it will be God protect us when we cry out to God. Some of it will understand what is coming, and then we take our physical steps to protect ourselves and our loved ones. That includes our family. That includes our Christian family. That includes the community that we live in. And so we talk about preparedness measures, and then we put things together to protect all of us. I know we can only do so much, but let's do what we can if we have an understanding that troubles will be coming. After all, they've happened in history. It's a repeating pattern in human history and in biblical history. So let's get a little bit ready for it. Yeah, we can puzzle over what's coming, and we can see what's coming. It's right in the Bible. In fact, it's right in our history books. Patterns repeat. And so let us, each one of us, get a little bit ready. Now, these are things that happen. They are normal happenings. Now, there's a lot of people who say, we won't have to suffer the wrath of God. Well, what is the wrath of God? Oh, it's a whole lot worse than what is coming. But we should get an idea to see what natural circumstances are and how they would affect us compared to what is the wrath of God. I'm sure we cannot avoid, if God says it's coming, it's coming. Whether it's the natural disasters that would happen to the earth, or if it is the wrath of God that would, we hope the wrath of God will persuade the unsaved to turn to Christ, because they see how painful it is to follow their own ways. Well, that's something in the future. Perhaps we will be preaching to the unsaved. Perhaps that will be a part of what we do and what we preach about. But that's for each one of us to know and understand and decide. That's a part of it. Will we be raptured? Will we go through the difficulties on earth? Well, there certainly is a difference of opinion about that. And all we can do is seek understanding through prayer. And if we really need an answer, I suggest we do prayer and fasting. That has been the biblical answer to what we do for a difficult time. What will happen in the future? There are plenty of things that are written about, both in history and written about in the Bible. We might not know. We really might not. There are experiences that we can understand will happen. Oh, yeah. I think of what the Bible says. Earthquakes, famines, epidemic, and war. There again, do you believe it? Do you understand that that is what is coming? If you understand it, then let me ask you, how would you prepare for earthquakes, famine, epidemic, and war? Well, it sounds like there's going to be a whole lot of shortages, and I say the preparation includes water, food, and warmth. How will you get water? Perhaps you will have to go to a water source that is near you. You might have to bring waters back to your home in a 5-gallon jar and carry it in a wagon. 5 gallons of water. That's a lot of weight. 40-some pounds. So, that's why you need the wagon. If things fall apart with widespread violence around us, or widespread destruction that earthquakes would bring, that famine and epidemic would intensify, and war would just add all the more to every trouble that there was. Every shortage, everything would be hard to find if we had a war on our soil. So it's a matter of what can we do. There are a few things that we can do that are quite easy. So let's look and see what it is we can do. There will be a few things that each of us can do. Water, food, and warmth. I know there's a question of if we have to prepare for any hard times, or if we will be raptured off the face of the earth before any hard times come. Again, I would look back to the Bible history or earthly history. And I think Jonathan Cahn has a good example of this in both his writings and in how he speaks about what will come to the world, what will come to America. He uses the example of 9/11 as the first of the warnings, which he calls harbingers, and that these warnings will continue upon the people so that they seek God. It's a matter of what is going to bring you to God or even drive you to God. What will it be? For some people, it will be a time of difficulty, and we call out to God, Lord, save us. Lord, help us. And it's going to be different for each one of us. And we have guidance. Like I said, the Bible is a very good guidance. We also have people who have had a prophetic voice. Why, in the last 25 years, I have heard plenty of people who claim to have the gift of prophecy. I leave that up to you, because you get to determine if a person hears God or not. Now, there's lots of people today who say they hear the voice of God. I don't know what they hear. I wonder if they hear that great big booming voice that I have heard that is not of God. I wonder if they hear the quiet, whispering, smooth, sweet voice of God that is full of love. Now, the big voice can be smooth also, but it's not with love. That's my experience. So, do these people who say they hear from God, did they? Well, question it, look at it, and if they did, then see what you can do to obey God. Walk with God Jesus. It's a narrow path that gets to heaven, and it's a wide path that leads to hell. So, as we go through the things that society and government presents us with, we have to figure out how to get through everything that is in front of us, whether it is just plain natural disasters, or rules and regulations, or telling us how we're allowed to care for our neighbors or provide what? Chicken eggs? Sure. How do we provide eggs when there's a law that says you can only have so many chickens? Well, do we work within the law? Do we work within God's law? Oh, be careful with that one. There are consequences. But look at God's word. Look at the history of God. Look at the 10 plagues on Egypt and say, what would we do if these happened? That reminds me. The first plague is the rivers turning to blood. Blood red rivers. And if you look on every continent of the world, there are very dark red rivers. Are they blood red rivers? They are. But is it blood, or is it a natural phenomenon? Did God cause the natural phenomena so that you would see that the rivers are turning to blood, just like the 10 plagues of Egypt? Blood? rivers to blood, frogs, gnats, flies, disease, and then boils and hail, locusts and darkness, and the death of the firstborn. That could be repeated in ways we don't understand, but the effects would be about the same. It's something which we have to pay attention to see how important it is to stay faithful to God and be protected from the things that are going on around us. We get to see about what could happen in our country. Yeah, there could be vandalism, there could be terrorism, there could be mistakes made that are done throughout our computer world, our banking world, our water systems, our food systems. Oh, but each one of these, computer, communications, water, and food, have all been under attack from outside the country, and the attacks have been thwarted. But will they always be? Well, we always have a communication system or even a military to protect us from outside threats. It's a good question when you look at all the cyber terrorism that has gone on. I think of what the FBI director, Christopher Wray, said last year. He warned our Congress and our Senate that not just them, but he made public addresses also. And he said that there were flashing warning lights going on all across our nation. Do you see them? Are there flashing warning lights going off all across our nation? Well, there's people who see them. I see them. Maybe you do too. And that is a sign that we better get ready for whatever is coming. And I don't know what's coming, but I can see what might be coming, and I can say, look out. Things could be changing drastically in our regular life. We have the food contamination around us. We have what you could even say red dye 40 in our food, causing us maybe cancer, maybe illness. And that's something which we all have to be concerned about. We hear about pharmacies using drugs, the pharmaceuticals that come from outside of the system. Some of them are tainted with fentanyl. We have 100,000 fentanyl deaths a year. Why? Because fentanyl comes in from China, and it is used as an additive for all sorts of things. What are we going to do? How can we learn to be prepared and cautious about all the things that are going on, which we don't even know? We don't even know all the things that are going on, but we know that there are some things going on and that we need to be more careful than we ever have been. The world is full of violence and war, and that includes a cyber war. Now, there are countries who have talked about an act of war against the United States. And they've talked about sending missiles into the United States because we are the great Satan. That's what some of them say. And therefore, we ought to be obliterated. We have had threats about nuclear weapons being sent into America. If that happens, we all need to have potassium iodate. I'd get a bottle of potassium iodate, or even two bottles, depending on how big your family and your community is. But at least get one bottle. It will protect your thyroid so that you don't lose your thyroid. Your thyroid protects, or let's say it governs the other glands in your body, and it provides digestive acids in your stomach. So if you don't have your thyroid, your food will not get digested, and you'll starve to death. So it's a real simple solution to get some potassium iodide now. They come in different sizes, the different number of pills. It's all a little bit different, but get yourself a bottle. Might be $50, might be a little more, might be a little less. But you know that that's something that is talked about all over the world. And there are countries that have provided every home in their country with a bottle of potassium iodide. And you know that radiation does not stay in one country. It goes around the world, and it could come to America, or there could be a nuclear event in America. So, there again, reasonable? I think it is. If you think it is, then you get some too. Please get potassium iodide pills. Find out the instructions. Find out your body weight and the amount that you ought to take or your children ought to take. It would be so sad for a child, a 10-year-old child, to lose their thyroid and not be able to digest the food they eat. So get some potassium iodide. That has been distributed to many of the countries around Russia. It's just what governments can see there is a potential problem and they're doing something about it. So pay attention. Look and do what you can do. Do it while you're able. Do it while the pills are available. If we ever have a nuclear event, there will be shortages of everything, including potassium iodide pills. Well, the Bible does describe what is coming, but do you see it? Do you see what is important? I think we all have a different idea of what is important. But if we have a war coming, you know there's going to be shortages. You can be sure that we might have ration cards, that we can only get so much of whatever it is. Meat, food, vitamins, meat, gasoline, anything. Just like in World War II, everything was restricted and you needed a ration card to buy what you would consider normal now, whether it's sugar or dairy products. Just examine this, because we are on a battlefield. It's a battlefield right now on Earth. It's a spiritual battlefield, but the spiritual battlefield is also a physical battlefield. There's a war going on to harm the people. God loves people, and Satan wants to harm the people that God loves. We see the signs around us. Can you see what they are? Have a look. I see them clearly. Other people see them clearly. There is the offices of emergency preparedness around the world and around this country. I think every office has an office of emergency preparedness. You can get literature from them. You can get literature from nonprofit organizations or even profit corporations. There is lots to get, lots to see. Just have a look and see if you ought to be concerned as you pray and give God worship and praise. It helps to have Bible study, or at least you can read your Bible. There's always things we can do to try to understand the changes that are coming. Meanwhile, we want to maintain our freedom to worship God as we go through life. We like the freedom we have, but there are people, there are countries that want to take it away. They want our resources, and they want to destroy America. That's just plain and simple. You see it or you don't, but I see it. And I think if you listen to other people or the Office of Emergency Preparedness for each state, they can tell you about how to be prepared. It's always what you see to do. And I do have a preparedness pamphlet which I send out for free. Just if you would send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, that would be helpful. To John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. It is free. It's a simple little pamphlet that covers a whole lot. And the idea is it'll give you ideas. Of course, you don't have to follow any of it, but it will give you ideas about what you might want to get. Just circle the things that appeal to you and look at how you can obtain whatever it is that is important to you. We're in a time where there could be a crisis happen very quickly in the United States. It could be a natural disaster. It could be an epidemic. It could be an earthquake. And there are reasons to see all these things happening. In fact, I have talked in the past about prophetic people who have said this is going to come to America. Well, if it's coming, let's get a little bit ready. Let's get some beans and rice, or maybe you like lentils, maybe you like barley. But the point is, get a few things so that in case these hard times do come, you will have some things that are available to help you. Even just plain table salt, even the potassium iodide pills. It's all a little bit different. Have some good heavy clothes so that you can stay warm in case our electrical is shut off. Maybe you will have a few solar panels to help you charge. It could be an inverter so that you can recharge whatever it is, your phone, a battery-powered drill, or anything. It's helpful to have electricity, even if it's a 12-volt battery and a solar, just one simple solar panel. Everything helps a little bit, and nothing will replace what there is now. If we have a collapse going on and there's reason to have a financial collapse in our country, there are many reasons, actually. So all these things can happen, whether it's a financial collapse or a cosmic event or an earth event. Yeah, earthquakes, sure. Yes, there are volcanoes. There's also a question of if the Great Lakes drain. That's another one that has, there again, prophesied for 35 years. Well, 30 to 35 years, there were several prophecies. Here, I have a hard time with prophecies because we know that they could be true. Or maybe they were true for the time. But they also could be true for the future. And if nothing else, it is still something that could happen. And therefore, what can you do to live through the trouble that would happen? What would you do to live through the trouble that it would bring your family and your friends? It's a question that each one of us can answer, and there probably are not answers that every one of us would have. We all have different ideas about what we can do and what we need to survive. But look at the just in case and have a few things for that just-in-case situation. I always like to have a cast-iron cooking pot because we don't have a natural source of iron, and a cast-iron cooking pot will provide the iron that your body needs to produce blood. There's always things, and have extra clothes, warm clothes for staying warm in case the electrical system does go down. We already have had terrorist attacks that have probed our many electrical systems in the USA. They have probed the government communications, the Pentagon communications. They have probed quite a lot of our utilities. We don't know what could happen. Well, we kind of do. And that's just another reason to be cautious. to take a little bit of preparation while you're able. And we all will prepare different. And that is why it is good to be a community, because if everyone is a part of a community, we will share with other people and they will share with us. Whether one person has a lot of salt and another person has a lot of corn, we can share and help each other. And so think about who you would want to go through a hard time with and talk with them about what you can do or what they can do, how you can work together as a team. I'm glad that you would listen today. And if you would like that copy of my preparedness list, it's free, but I would ask you to send a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So just keep thinking about obeying God, doing the right thing, and loving your neighbor. Love God. Love your neighbor. God bless you. Thank you for today.